This is a special pledge edition of the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week to WLRN. A couple of weeks ago, WLRN launched a new project asking you what you want to know about South Florida. We call it Palm Readers. Great journalism begins with a question, so we want to hear from you as we work with you to find answers. Several of the first questions we received were related to the economy, specifically real estate.
We're recording.
This is Margaret Cox.
I live in Miami. Do you want my full address or just where I live?
Margaret is a retired special education public school teacher. She lives with her 92-year-old mother in a two-bedroom apartment. Margaret wanted to know about raising the rent and if there are any limits as to how much landlords can raise a tenant's monthly rent.
No, I'm just wondering if, you know, there are any limits, because I've been renting forever. I tried to buy a condo and it all fell through. And I've been renting for a long time. And, you know, each year my rent seems to go up different amounts each time. So I just wondered if there was any set amount that they could raise it each year.
Sarah Graff, Miami, Florida.
While Margaret may be at the end of her career, Sarah is at the beginning of hers. She is a medical student, a wife, and a mother to a four-year-old. She's also curious about real estate, but instead of renting, Sarah wanted to know about the price to buy a home.
Why are house prices so incredibly high in Miami, especially when the median income is so low? It's lower than the national average in the county.
And Sarah has her data correct. The median income in South Florida is about $50,000, actually below that in Miami-Dade County. It's $3,000 below the national average region-wide. The average single-family home here is just about $300,000, more than $100,000 over the national average. And the median rent for a two-bedroom apartment here, over $300 more per month versus the national median rent. So yes, housing is more expensive on average in South Florida compared to the rest of the country, whether it is to buy or to rent, and incomes are less. Housing affordability is a huge issue locally. And for Margaret Cox, the retired teacher, and Sarah Graff, the medical student, mom, and wife, it's a quality of life issue that they are very conscious of how it affects their household budgets. And that helps explain why the price of housing, buying or renting, was a common theme among several of the questions submitted through our Palm Readers project. So let's start with Sarah's situation. I spoke with her via Skype, interrupting her studying for a medical licensing exam.
We recently moved to Miami a year ago, and we were trying to find some affordable housing for our family. We have a young son, and we were looking for, you know, just a suburbia house with a backyard, nothing too big, nothing opulent, just a run-of-the-mill place to stay. And it was nearly impossible. It was impossible to find that. We wound up finding an apartment.
Sarah and her family moved to Miami from Grenada, but she was familiar with American housing prices. Her husband is from Wisconsin and she's from Southern California.
We were blown away. Absolute sticker shock.
She says she's never seen housing prices like they encountered in South Florida as they went about looking for a place to live.
We set a budget, and that budget got us nowhere.
They were disciplined. They set a limit of no more than a third of their income to pay for a home. And that's what financial experts say is a good rule of thumb. About 30 cents of every dollar to go for housing. That's it.
We increased the budget, and that started to interfere with our quality of life. We would have to start reallocating funds from whether it be travel or even entertainment, childcare, etc., to the rent. And it got to a point where we were not willing to sacrifice our quality of life for a house.
So instead of renting a single family home, she, her husband, and their four-year-old son lived together in an apartment.
A lot of people who moved here thinking it was going to be a bargain, I think, genuinely surprised.
Kevin Greiner is a senior fellow at FIU's Metropolitan Center, where he studies housing affordability issues.
They're also surprised what may look on a listing as a reasonable price. They find out the unit is a whole lot smaller than they thought it was. So that I'm not surprised by sticker shock at all, really.
So still to come, why the question of housing prices are so high. And it goes way beyond Sarah and her family.
Recognize that This is now a central issue of regional economic competitiveness.
This is a special pledge edition of the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening and for contributing to WLRN. Today it's Palm Readers, your questions about the Sunshine Economy. Palm Readers is a new WLRN public-powered journalism project. It all starts with a question from you. You can find out how you can participate at wlrn.org/palm-readers. Sarah Graff contributed this question.
Why are house prices so incredibly high in Miami?
She's a medical student, a wife, and a mother. She says they were blown away by home prices, and so they've been renting an apartment.
Miami's unique in North America.
Kevin Greiner studies housing locally at FIU's Metropolitan Center.
Only two other cities, LA and New York, have the same international profile. So that Miami is still a really desirable place to live.
Since 2010, more than 400,000 people have moved to South Florida, from Palm Beach County all the way down to Key West. Most of them came to Miami-Dade and Broward counties. Two out of every five people who moved to the entire state of Florida since the beginning of the decade have moved to the four counties making up our region in South Florida. That kind of growth has far exceeded the new supply of housing units. So the demand for housing is a big reason for higher real estate prices.
What's been happening, because Miami's market is so successful, the number of units kind of at the middle and lower levels of cost and affordability, that's where the real shortage of new units have been. And a lot of those units, of course, with rising prices, are now moving out of that reach for middle-income families.
So let's talk about prices now. The average single-family home in Miami-Dade County costs about $310,000. In Broward, it's $280,000. In Palm Beach, it's over $330,000. Now, those prices would take a household income of about $70,000 per year. The average in South Florida, it's closer to $50,000. And that's the affordability challenge behind Sarah Graff's question to us. It's a challenge that Sarah says may keep her from staying and being a doctor here in South Florida.
I wanted to apply for residency out here. However, the number one barrier for me to become a doctor here in South Florida is the cost of housing.
Recognize that this is now a central issue of regional economic competitiveness.
Again, Kevin Greiner with FIU's Metropolitan Center.
If we can't figure this out, coming from both ends, then Miami-Dade's looking at a future where you can't retain your young talent. Once that starts, it's a spiral that's really hard to recover from.
Is this a challenge that is shared by Broward and Palm Beach counties as well?
It is, absolutely. In fact, Broward is quickly moving up on Miami-Dade in terms of total unaffordability.
As for Sarah, she, her husband, and their four-year-old son, they will soon be moving out of their rental apartment and into a single-family home. Now, it's still a rental, but it's affordable, meaning it's about a third of their income.
We have actually just leased another home in Kendall. So we're moving out of our current apartment into a home. And everything was based around his schooling and not breaking that one-third rule, which we broke a little bit, but nothing too extreme.
I'd say that Sarah's and her family is still doing extremely well by Miami standards.
The financial ideal is to spend 30% of your income on monthly mortgage payments or rent. Anything over that, and you are considered what's called cost burdened by housing. So by that measure, 30% of income, one in five homeowners in Miami-Dade County are considered cost burdened. But it's even worse for renters, with one out of every three. Kevin Greiner again with FIU's Metropolitan Center.
That's the biggest issue here in Miami-Dade, is that the number of cost-burdened households, those paying 30% or more on their rent, is more than double the national average. It's way ahead of the rest of the country. In fact, right now, in terms of the absolute number of households, the 850,000 or so households in Miami-Dade County, 49 and moving quickly to 50% of them are cost burdened.
Put another way, one out of every two households in Miami-Dade County is spending more than 30% of its income on housing alone. Still to come on a special pledge edition here of the Sunshine Economy, a different question about real estate, but still focus on the high price to live here.
I've been renting for a long time, and you know, each year my rent seems to go up different amounts each time.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN, a special pledge edition today. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening, and thanks for contributing to public media in South Florida. The pledge lines and website remain open during the program. On this special pledge edition, we are featuring two listener questions from our new Palm Readers project. Now, this is not about psychic abilities. It's about hearing from listeners and their questions, working with them to find answers. You can find more about the project and even submit your questions. It's all on the website at wlrn.org/palm-readers or on the website's homepage, wlrn.org. On the right-hand side, look for Palm Readers. Now, the two questions we're featuring today are focused on real estate, a favorite pastime of conversation in South Florida. It's specifically about the cost of buying it or renting it. Margaret Cox retired a couple of years ago after being a special education public school teacher. She turns 68 years old in May and has rented for a long time, renting in the same large apartment complex for about 20 years now.
My first apartment, I had a two bedrooms and 1.5 bathrooms, and I paid $800.
$800 a month. That was back in 1997. Now, adjusted for inflation, that's about $1,200 today. But the average rent on a two-bedroom apartment in Miami-Dade County has been moving up faster than overall inflation. According to Zillow, the average two-bedroom apartment now rents for over $1,700 per month. In Broward and Palm Beach counties, the average is about $1,500. In the Keys, a two-bedroom rents for twice that, close to $3,000, by far the most expensive in the region.
In the apartment that I'm currently in, I started paying, I started paying like $1,300, and it's close to $1,600 now in 4 years. I have a two-bedroom, two-bathroom apartment, and it's kind of nice. I've been here for a long time, so I'm pretty sure that I'm paying, you know, a fairly good rate. I live in a pretty nice neighborhood. It's not, you know, run down or anything like that. But it's not a top model apartment, you know.
Now, Margaret wanted to know if there's any limit at all on how much landlords in Florida can raise the monthly rent.
Each year, my rent seems to go up different amounts each time. So I just wondered if there was any set amount that they could raise it each year.
Margaret is on a fixed income as she's retired. She cares for her 92-year-old mother. She also pays for a reserved parking spot so she can park close to her apartment with her mom. That's another $45 per month that she has to pay for.
I don't do any of the fun things I used to do. I used to subscribe to the theater. I used to go, you know, all of those kinds of things have had to stop. I don't go out. I don't go out occasionally. I may have a meal out with my friends, but all my entertainment kind of things have had to stop. And I contribute a great deal less now to charity than I used to. And so that's how I'm managing to keep up. You know, I just have to take away things so that I can continue to pay my rent.
A lot of personal spending can fall victim to high housing costs, especially for senior citizens on fixed incomes who are renting. Like Margaret Cox, they face the possibility of annual rent increases outpacing any increases that may come in their Social Security, pension, or retirement income. And in Dade County, the second fastest growing population since the beginning of this decade is among those 65 to 69 years old, baby boomers, the traditional beginning of retirement. It's the fastest growing age group in Broward and Palm Beach counties. So still to come, we tackle the question, are there limits to how much the rent can be raised and the simple economics at play?
The overriding issue for most property owners is what can I get? What is the market bearing? And the issue for South Florida is the supply of rental housing is not keeping up with the demand.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. It's a special pledge edition today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to WLRN. Just a couple of weeks ago, WLRN launched a new project asking you what you want to know about South Florida. We call it Palm Readers. What are you curious about? Great journalism begins with a question, so we want to hear from you as we work with you to find answers. You can contribute your own curiosity at wlrn.org/palm-readers, or go to the homepage at wlrn.org and look for the Palm Readers on the right-hand side. Several of the first questions we received were related to the economy, specifically real estate. Retired teacher Margaret Cox wanted to know about the annual increases in rent.
Each year, my rent seems to go up different amounts each time. So I just wondered if there was any set amount that they could raise it each year.
The very simple and clear answer to that question is no.
That's Jim Karras. He runs his company called Karras Community Investment. He also lectures on housing and affordable housing at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. We spoke with him via Skype from his office in Fort Lauderdale.
There are no restrictions whatsoever, either through the state or any of the counties or any of the municipalities.
So in other words, there is no rent control in the Sunshine State. He says if there's a lease, that will spell out the rental amount and how long that will be the charge.
But once that lease is up, the landlord or the property owner has the right to raise it as much as he or she feels that is appropriate.
And that depends upon the market forces of supply and demand. And it's driven by a landlord's cost to own and keep up the property. A big component of that is the property tax bill on an apartment building. And those buildings do not enjoy limits on how much property taxes can go up like residential properties do in Florida.
Commercial property is taxed, it can increase without any ceiling to it. Homesteaded properties, we have Save Our Homes, so there's a limit in terms of how much can increase on property taxes. On commercial property owners, property taxes can increase to the market rate.
Homeowners are familiar with that homestead exemption, which helps take a slice of the value of the home off of the taxable value. Plus, it limits the amount that property taxes can go up each year. All of these are considered cost inputs for any property owner, including the landlord, the cost of ownership. The market rate is exactly what you think it is, whatever somebody is willing to pay.
The overriding issue for most property owners is, what can I get? What is the market bearing? And the issue for South Florida is the supply of rental housing is not keeping up with the demand.
Supply and demand, economics 101. While there has been new buildings built since the housing collapse, many of those are condominiums, for sale product in the language of real estate. It's only recently more for rent buildings have been coming into the market, but the demand remains heavy. Consider this. Compared to 2010, there are 25,000 fewer homeowners in Miami-Dade County, but 75,000 more renters. So the demand for rental units continues to increase. And no, Margaret, there is no rent control in Florida.
There are no controls. I thought so. I pretty much thought so, yeah. I know in Canada there were when I lived in New York City. There were rent-controlled apartments, you know. when I came down here, but when I first came here to Florida, the rents were like really minimal compared to New York City, you know, but I would say they now probably match, they pretty much match the city.
Of course, that all depends upon location. On average, New York rents remain above those in Miami. Jim Karras with Karras Community Investment, who's been studying housing affordability for more than 25 years, does not think South Florida, despite its housing affordability struggles right now, is about to turn to rent controls.
In my experience, rent control is almost never on the table of discussion in South Florida. The political will to incorporate rent control in South Florida, it does not exist. It's barely mentioned. And why that is that I think there is a negative perception of the potential negative impact that rent control has on development.
If apartment building developers and owners are limited in the rents they can charge each year and limited in the amount they can increase those rents, perhaps they won't answer the demand with new supply. Now, the questions for today's program came through WLRN's Palm Readers Project. You can add your question at WLRN.org/palm-readers. Or you can go to the website, the homepage there, WLRN.org, and look for Palm Readers on the right-hand side. Peter J. Meritz is our technical director today on our special pledge edition. He's also the program director here. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.